It's really the important thing of what we do. The Word of God speaks to us and challenges us and just continues to work in our lives. God says that His Word will never return void, so it's going to have an effect. I want to speak a message today called The Real You, The Real You, and you'll see what I'm referring to. We're going to go back to the series from last year that we still haven't finished yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back a little bit in time, and I want to I don't know if you knew this. Those of us that are a little older, was it Thursday or Friday? Was the day that Marty McFly went to in Back to the Future? So we are living now that far ahead. Think about that. So somebody put that on Facebook. I thought that was a unique fact. I think it was the 21st or 20. No, the 19th, the 18th, the 19th. Was it 20th? Whatever it was one of those days this past week that Marty McFly flew in the DeLorean at 88 mile an hour and reached 2023. So, wow, we're living in it. I want to go back in time a little bit to get back to where we've been studying. And what we've been studying, if you're new here or have just picked up in the last couple months, what we've been studying was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the last message was way back on November 6th. Before we got involved in all of our holiday messages, our Christmas concert, and all of those things. So let's catch up with time, all right? We've been talking about the spiritual gifts that Jesus gave to His church through the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that Jesus promised these gifts to His church for the ministry of the gospel in their time. And so what He did in the New Testament church when they were born is He breathed on them, told them to receive the Holy Spirit, and then filled that church with gifts. And that's what we've been looking at, because I believe the Bible does not say, as some churches would teach, that these gifts are gone, that they disappeared, that they went away with the apostles, because Jesus says these things are for you, talking to the disciples, and those who believe. What was He saying? Everyone you tell these things to, it was for them. So how many know, as a church in 2023, we are living and preaching and teaching on the things that the apostles and the disciples taught the church back then? We are learning those things today. So these things are for us today. I'm not going to argue with anybody who believes that it's any different, but I want you to know that the Bible does not say that there is an end to them until, the Bible says, and Paul makes it very clear, until we come to the perfection. And how many know we will not come to perfection until the day that we lay this flesh down and we enter into the glory? Because then we will have our perfect spiritual body and not wrestle with the things of this flesh. So I believe that they are for our time. We said that these gifts have three different designations. They are the ministry gifts. There's a slide for this, Ron. They are the ministry gifts, the manifestation gifts, and the motivational gifts. I would like to call them the three M's of ministry. The three M's of ministry. And if I could break them down a little further, just for our study, I'm not saying we need to teach these in other churches, because some pastors would say, well, that's not right. But I think for the way we've been studying and the things that God has been saying here, I would like to break them down just for a clearer understanding in this house. And I would say that they are, number one, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, preparing us. And those would be the ministry gifts. These are the gifts that we looked way back probably in September, August, late August, early September. We looked back at these, the ministry gifts. These are the gifts of ministers and leaders in the church so that we can all come to the maturity of our calling and of our ministry. And we find these gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, where he says, "And he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachings," the fivefold ministry. And I'm not going to go into these gifts because we already talked about them. You can find all of these messages online. But the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So these five gifts will be operating in the church until the day that the church is perfected. And we just talked about when that will truly happen. Then, secondly, we have Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, revealing His power to us. These are the gifts of manifestation. And this is where we see Jesus' Holy Spirit active in our lives and mostly in our church. There are nine gifts of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We spent all the fall up to probably from late September up to early November. We looked at these nine gifts and spent studying them. They are, 9 gifts divided into 3 sections. First, the gifts of power. That means they do something. That is the gift of faith, the gift of working miracles, and the gift of healing. These are all for the church today. Secondly, the gifts of revelation. These are the gifts that reveal something. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Thirdly, we have the gifts of utterance. These are the gifts which say something. That is prophecy, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. Again, all 9 of these gifts you can find online. We went through each and every one and took them pretty seriously into each and every one of them. So you should be able to get some really good designation of them. And then we have the third designation of these gifts, which I would say is Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, releasing us, or the Holy Spirit working through us. And these are the gifts that we're going to look at now, which we have not looked at yet. And we call these our motivational gifts. Our motivational gifts. And for these gifts, we need to turn over to Romans chapter 12, because that's where Paul speaks about them and lays them out to us so that we can have a better understanding of them. Romans chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 4 to 8. Lord, bless your word today and speak to your people as we read it. He says, Paul says in Romans 12, 4 to 8, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." And now he lists the 7. "If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." Now, I want to say this before we go into these. We're going to take a few weeks going through these, because I want to really bring them out and let you know what they do and how they operate. I want you to know this. Every one of you have one of these ministry gifts, one of these motivational gifts within you. It is really why you live life the way you do. The manifestation gifts can be given to any person in the church as the time the Holy Spirit is moving. So somebody can't rise up and say, I'm this or I'm that. No. That's God just puts that upon a person at that moment when God is speaking to the church. These gifts are gifts that you can say, that's me. It's in me. It's part of me. It's who I am. It's how I operate. These are those gifts that God has given to us. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. In a few weeks, we are going to be taking a motivational gift survey. I'm going to give you a link for that so that you know what motivational gift you move in and which one God gave you when you were born. All right? So here's what I'm asking you not to do. Don't go online and search them and take any test. I want to make sure that we're all in line with a good test that I know of, that this way you're going to come out and we're all going to be at the same point. And it will give you a percentage of all 7 gifts of where you operate. You're going to see your strongest to your weakest. I want you to know, for the most part, God gives us 1 gift. But within that gift, other of these operate. And so we're going to be doing that in a few weeks. Don't go rush ahead of me and do it online, please. It is an online survey that I will give you a link to and help you. And you can do it here at the church if you don't have a computer at home. But don't do that now. Wait a few weeks. I'll tell you when we're going to do it. And then I think it'll be an eye-opening experience and a spiritual moment for many of us as we say, wow, that explains a lot about my life and the way that I live life. But we're not there yet. So don't go ahead of me online and do it, because there's a ton of them online. And some of them I may not want you to do, because some of them may not be as good as others, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, come on. Just because it's online, don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Okay? And so let's not let online teach us. Let's use online to allow the Holy Spirit to grow us. Okay? So keep that in mind. So today, in the Abundant Living Church family, we have many members in this one body. That's what Paul says. We are many members. Okay? But I want you to know this. In Jesus Christ, we are one. So let me say this again. Okay? Let me say it again. Today in the Abundant Living Church family, even if you're visiting with us, we have many members in this one body, but we are truly one in Jesus Christ. Yet, Paul says, though we are one body, we all don't have the same function. Could you imagine if on your body you had all big toes? You wouldn't be able to walk. Could you imagine if on your body you had all 10 thumbs? You wouldn't be able to do the things that you do. And you could go with any part of the body, any area of the body to show this. Just as God created our body with exactly what it needed to do what it needs to do, God gives the church these giftings so that the church can do what it's supposed to do. So we don't want all thumbs. We don't want a church that looks like the pastor, that is like the pastor, that just adopts everything the pastor is and those types of things. We want a church that allows you to be your individual self the way God created you to be. This is why the motivational gifts are so important. I hope this is going to excite some of you today, and it's going to fire you up a little bit in serving Jesus Christ with who you are and what you were created to do. And so yet we are one body, we don't all have the same function. And this is what's so encouraging about this time of the year when we begin to accept new members into our church. This year we're bringing 5 new members in. And I'm excited by that because that means there are 5 people that are coming into membership of this church that have different motivational giftings, different characteristics, different personalities, and they're not coming into the church to be like us, they're coming into the church to be one of us so that they can bring those giftings and those personalities and those characteristics and lend them to the body, amen? And so the body is very much strengthened. Praise God for that. Do we want to grow? We got a lot of seats to fill. We got another 100 seats in the back. I'm believing that 2023 might be some breakthrough in some of these areas. But how many know it needs to happen in us first? Because when new people come in, we just don't want them to assimilate into whatever they sense the church is doing. We want them to assimilate into the body of Christ and what God is doing in them and God bringing them to this church so that they can be a part, a functioning part of blessing this church and being a part of this church and blessing our community and being a part of what God wants to do here at Abundant Living Church. And so God is adding to our numbers. That's exciting. But more than that, he's adding to our capacity to function and to do ministry. New people with new giftings. We should all rejoice at that. Amen. And every time you hear me speak of our giftings, you hear me say this all the time. Your gifting. Many giftings come together. And how God uses them, this is what I'm referring to. I'm referring to your motivational gifts. Matter of fact, every time I type out a message where I use the word giftings, spell checker does not like it. So it's probably not a word. Or it doesn't understand it as a word. But I'm telling you what, we all have giftings that God has poured into our lives. Paul goes on to say that we have differing gifts that were given to us according to God's grace over our lives. And then he lists, as I've already read, the 7 motivational gifts whereby God has blessed each and every one of us individually with one of them. Here are the gifts. If you want to write them down, you can. If not, we're going to talk a lot about them, so you're going to get them. They are prophecy. They are serving. They are teaching. 4, exhorting. 5, giving. 6, organizing. And 7, mercy. Let me go through the list again. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, organizing, and mercy. I want you to know this, that at the moment that you were born again, the second that you prayed and said, Jesus, come into my heart, I want to open my life up to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior, you received one of these spiritual gifts. Now, let me say it this way. You received this gift when you were born in the flesh, but the gift doesn't come to power until you're born again of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Because it's a spiritual gift. But God, from the moment that you took your first breath, from the moment that your heart first beated inside your mother's womb, all right, let's not take the ideas of the world. Let's take the ideas of what the Bible says. That child is a baby within the womb. The minute that heart starts beating, the minute that cell breaks off, that separates, it becomes what God has created to be a child. You are giving one of these motivational gifts. God has created it in you. Now, you may not come to know what that gift is for 30 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe 80 years, until you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, be my Savior. And instantly, the Holy Spirit comes into you, and guess what? Your spiritual gift, your motivational gift is recognized and empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's in you. And if you don't believe that, remember who created you. And if you'll remember who created you, then you won't be surprised that some of these traits were in your life before you came to know Jesus Christ. You might say, once you find your spiritual motivational gift, you might say, wait a minute. I've operated in that the whole time. That makes sense of why I do what I do at work. That makes sense of how I treat my spouse and my children, of how I do this and how I do. It makes sense to me now, right? Because remember who created you. Some of these things were in your life before you were saved. That's just further proof that God created you for a purpose. It's important that we understand that. Listen, I need to say this today. There is a divine design to every one of our lives. Let me say that again. There is a divine design to every one of our lives. And I need to let you know, this is the very thing that Satan is attacking through our society today. The divine design. They want us to believe that we're not designed divinely. They want us to believe that there's some mistakes in us, that maybe we aren't this or we aren't that, but we're this or that. And you might know some of the things I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into all of them. But I need to let you know today that Satan is attacking these things through our society. There's a confusion of gender in our children. It's a very large part of it. But it goes deeper than that. The Bible says that God created them male and female. God makes no mistakes. We need to make sure that our children understand that. We need to make sure that God doesn't make a mistake. If he gave you this part of the body, that's who you are. If he gave you this part of the body, that's who you are. And there's a purpose for it. God has a purpose for your life. God has a design for your life. Now listen, we're not going to bombard people and beat them up because of it. We're going to say, listen, we want you to know God's got a plan for you. Don't change. Don't mess that up. God has a divine design for you. We also need to make sure that they need to understand that no matter what the situation that brought them into this world, that he created them for a purpose. Yeah, well, you don't understand. I didn't come into a normal family. There wasn't a father. There wasn't whatever. Listen, doesn't matter. God brought you in for a purpose. Now, the fullness of that purpose can only be found in a life surrendered to him. But signs of it are there in your life from birth. Reggie Dabbs is a friend of mine. Met Reggie Dabbs many, many years ago. He speaks at Creation. He's been to our public schools. He has spoken in our public schools. And he comes into the schools, and the kids love him when he comes in. He's a Christian. He's a believer. And he comes in and does an assembly, and then he invites the kids to a local church that night that he's doing at a youth group. And when they come, man, he really speaks to them because he can't speak certain things in the school. But Reggie Dabbs, let me tell you the story. Reggie's mother went out and prostituted herself one night for $20. Because she had to feed her children. Reggie had older brothers and sisters. Because of that one night of prostitution for $20, Reggie was conceived. Now think about this, because Reggie went through his life thinking I wasn't wanted, there was never a purpose for my life, and he wanted to commit suicide and just deal with his life that way. And then God gets a hold of Reggie. And God says to Reggie, no, Reg, I created you for a purpose. Yes, your beginning may not have been what everybody would like it to be. And yes, it might be a sad story to tell. And it might be, I'll tell you what, he gets a hold of the kids when he tells this story. He's in the schools. They're all perked up. They're all listening because some of it registers in some of their hearts and things that they've experienced. But Reggie begins to tell them then about how he found a purpose in life. And it wasn't about how he was conceived. It wasn't about the situation of his birth. It was about the fact that God created him. Even through that, God created him for a purpose. And then he gets them together and he speaks into their lives and he tells them about the love of Jesus. You see, even in sin, God has a plan. Even in the things that you've experienced, God has a plan. These gifts were planned and given to you at birth. These gifts are God's grace, Paul says, that are bestowed upon us. You've heard the saying, she sees the world through rose-colored glasses, meaning that we all have a certain bent about the way that we live our lives. And that word bent, it's not used wrong there. Bent means that there's a thinking, there's a process of thinking, there's a process in our developmental, developing as from a child to a teenager into an adult. There's a bent about life. There's things that we only see life as, and we may not all agree on those things, but they're bred into us. You know, we all say, oh, I don't want to be like mom when I grow up. I don't want to be like dad when I grow up. But we end up looking and saying, wow, I'm not too far from that, am I? In many ways. Now, maybe you've done your best all your life to get away from that. I don't know. But for the most part, you're always going to look back and say, I am the product of the house that I grew up in. And I teach this in my premarital counseling sessions because that husband and wife need to understand you're never going to agree on every situation. Yes, the Bible says you're one, but you're never going to agree on every situation because you grew up in a different house than she grew up in. And he grew up in a different house than you grew up in. And so you learn to handle situations. You learn to handle conflict. You learn to handle all types of things in different ways. Now the idea is that somehow you trust God to bring that together in how you handle everything. It's tough. Anybody who's married, you know what I'm talking about. It's tough. It's not easy. But we all see life in different ways. And I say that to say this. These motivational gifts are like a pair of glasses through which we view the world. Think about it. They are spiritual lenses through which we see the people and circumstances around us, and they determine how we react to every one of them. So I say this, if a person wants to be truly satisfied in their vocation of life, they should gain a clearer understanding of what God created them for and placed them here to do. You know, we all say that if you find a job that you love, you're really not working at all. And that's true. This is not work to me. People say, well, yeah, you know, my friend Tony, who's not here today, he'll remind me all the time, you only work one day a week. I'm like, huh, okay. Yeah, you travel along with me and find out what it's like to work just one day a week. But you know what I'm saying? This is not a job to me. It's my vocation. It's my calling. Vocation means calling, whether you know that or not. So the job that you're in, if that's your vocation, it's what God created you for. And if it's not, then find out what God's created you for. And you won't be happy in your job until you find out what your spiritual motivational gift is. Because that truly is what you're called to do. I know Mike here is a surveyor. The other thing I know about Mike is he loves numbers. So naturally, Mike's vocation would be something that deals with numbers, figuring out lines and all of this stuff. I don't understand. It'll blow my mind. But he comes to me and tells me, hey, how much does $100,000 weigh in ones or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And he's got it all. He figured it out. I'm like, Mike, I really don't care. But to him, that's a huge thing. So to him, it's important to me because Mike's important to me. How much was it? What?
$1 million is 22 pounds of hundreds.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you know that, Mike. I'd like $1 million and I wouldn't care how much it weighs. You know what I'm saying? But you see what I'm saying? Motivational gifting. Understanding vocation. I love what I do. You can love what you do when you discover why you were put on this earth. The biggest problem with our teenagers today and why the world is able to speak into their hearts about some of the things I'm talking about already is the very fact that they're confused about life. Why am I here? What am I going to get out of this life? There's nothing here for me. I hear teenagers go through this all the time. Because let's face it, when you look at they're raising our level of debt again. That's what they're going to vote for, to raise it again. Okay? We are leaving these generations behind us with such debt that they could never, ever, ever, ever hope to repay it. And think about that. So they're growing up with that. They're hearing the news. They're watching people in the city shoot each other left and right every night and this and that. It's coming to our areas now. And I went outside to check the mail last night because I told you a couple weeks ago, only I can get the mail. My wife and I worked through it and she's fine with that. I talked to her, make sure there was no hurt in her life because I don't let her get the mail. She said, I'm fine with that. It's not a big problem. I said, great, because I shared with the church that if it was a problem, let me know. And so last night I hadn't gotten the mail yet. I went out to get the mail. It was probably about 11:30, and I heard neighbors shouting at each other outside. I don't know if it was over the game. I have no idea what it was over, but I'm thinking I'm going to hear a gunshot. That's what I really thought. I think I'm going to hear a gunshot because I could hear the voices, and I knew they were very hyped up about something. They were probably drunk because you know how that goes when watching games and things like that at parties and things like that. So I'm thinking this is not going to go good. I said, you know what? I'm hearing about stray bullets all the time running in my house. Okay, but what do we teach? What do our young people have to look up to if they don't understand the calling of God upon their lives? You see what I'm saying? We need to teach our young people their motivational gifts. Maybe I need to do this in youth groups so that they understand, wow, that's what God put me here for? Yes. Get about it. Start working in it. Start doing it. I'm way off my notes. I need to get moving. So if a person, I said that, wants to be truly satisfied in their vocation, gain an understanding of what God created them for and placed them here today. God gave us our motivational gift to help guide us into our divine calling. And I already said that vocation, what we say about our jobs, is really, the word is calling. So really God, and this is what I say, don't think you're in your job because of coincidence. Oh, I really landed that great job. No. You need to look at your job. You need to look at the street you live on. You need to look at the town you live in. You need to look at the friends you have as a divine appointment of God. There's no coincidences. I'm learning this more and more. God places us in situations, relationships, and circumstances for a reason. It might just be so that you can use your motivational gift in those situations. So, our motivational gift shapes our view of life and all around it. Okay, so I'm going to give you three things here. I've got 15 minutes left. Three things here I'm going to teach you. First, our motivational gift shapes our view of life and all around it. Probably the biggest example of this would be in the Gospels in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For the most part, they all tell the same accounts. For the most part, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all write about the same stories. But as you read them, you'll say, wait a minute. I didn't read that in Matthew. Wait a minute. Mark doesn't say what Luke says. It's the same thing, but I'm a little confused because they're not exactly the same. You know why? Because God used each man's motivational gifting. He used each man's personality and character to write what they wrote about. It's still God's word, but it's got a little bend on it. It's got the bend of who they are and what their motivational gift was. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21 says this, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And if you want to underline something there, underline that. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is referring to the prophetic words of the Old Testament. But I want you to know, if it's saying about the Old Testament, the same truth can also be applied to the writers of the New Testament. That none of that word was given, okay, by private interpretation. It was the Holy Spirit of God working in each and every man's heart to bring the word of God to each and every one of us. So, God is the author. But these words came to us today by holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit moved upon them, he used their motivational gifts and the God-given human character of each one of them to bring about what the Holy Spirit wanted to say to us today. Isn't that wonderful? So Luke, let's go through them. Luke is a doctor. So Luke is a doctor, and so as he writes the same stories everybody else is writing about, you know what he does? He documents the healings. He documents how sick the person really was. And so when you read Luke, you see how sick the person was. You see the divine hand of God moving in that very sickness. Okay? Matthew might say 32 were healed. Luke's going to say a man was healed of leprosy. Two women were healed of this. This person, you see what I'm saying? Okay, same stories, different personalities, different giftings. Matthew's a tax collector. So guess what you get when you read the book of Matthew? Numbers. You get numbers, right? 5,000 were fed with 2 loaves and 7 fish, right? He keeps the numbers. He's a tax collector. Numbers are going through his head. If you've ever watched The Chosen, which I'm still not up to date with, but Matthew's got an impediment, right, or something. What is it? Right, he's on the autistic spectrum. Why? Because he deals with numbers. He's fantastic with it. But and they've taken liberty. We're not sure Matthew was that, but it makes some sense sometimes. So when you watch The Chosen, you see Matthew's a little different in his thinking, but man, he can run the numbers. He knows what he's doing. That's Matthew. So when you read Matthew, you get numbers. John was the disciple who wrote about himself many times and said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John was in the inner sanctum of the three disciples. He was the closest to Jesus. And so in his writings, and if anybody's newly saved, you will always hear me say when I give you a Bible, I will tell you, read the book of John. Why? Because John was so close to Jesus that when you read the book of John, all those accounts do one thing. They show you the love of Jesus for you. They make Jesus personable. They make him human. And so when you read the book of John, you fall in love with the character and the person of Jesus Christ. And then read the rest of them, but read John first. You see, God has given each of us motivational gifts which enable us to see the world around us in a different way. This is the power of the church coming together. This is the power of our unity. I need to move on. I've got 11 minutes left. This is the power of unity, because without everyone involved in the situations around us, we might miss something that God wants us to see. And now I'm going to tell you, I am very high in prophecy. Prophecy is making things right. It is the ability, those that move in this motivational gift of prophecy, you need to be careful because it needs to be seasoned with love, because you'll kill people without it. And so many of the things you hear come from the pulpit are very black and white in regards, this is wrong, this should not be, we need to make this right. Don't be mad at me for that. That's the motivational gift that I move in. And so that's what God has empowered me from the day of my birth, is to see right and wrong. Not always to know how to fix it, but I'll speak about it. And I'll bring something against it. And that's not always a bad thing in a pastor, but I want you to know I'm very strong in prophecy. And so that's my heart. If somebody's doing something, I'm going to go to them and make it right. But I've also got to season that with love. Because if not, I will kill that person and wound that person thinking, I've got to make it right. Tell you, I've experienced in my ministry where I've not handled it right. But I just want to show you how it works. And so in the church, one of us move in prophecy, one of us move in service, one of us move in giving, one of us move in all of exhortation. And you know what happens? The church is empowered. We get things done. There's an organizer. We need some organizers around here. So my prayer is that as you take these motivational gifts and you're going to apply yourself here at this church, that there's some organizing people, because if you look around these grounds, there's things that need to be done. These pews should not be sitting on the side by this point. They should be thrown out. They should be dealt with. We need some organizers. There's a pond outside that I've been working on for 2 years, 3 years, and still haven't gotten it fixed. It needs to be done. And Tim, thank you, because you have told me many times, Pastor, let me know when I can do it. I'll come over, we'll get it running and get it working. Thank you for that, and I've not called you. See, you can't just let the pastor do all of these things. I'm coming to the point now where I'm realizing I just can't do it all anymore. I just told the council, listen, council, what we're going to do is now we're going to have departments, and we're going to give things to council members and say, here's the money, run with this, because pastor doesn't have the time, nor do I have the heart sometimes to oversee those things. It's not my gifting. And so let's get the people involved in the life and in the maintenance and in the product of this church. We've got a beautiful building, and we can do some great things here, but we've got to get some people involved. So I'm praying for organizational people. And as you take the test, or if you know that's your test, you need to let Kim and I know that, because we need to put you to work. Because without everyone involved, we miss something. Just like you might have a favorite gospel writer. I like John over Matthew. Well, that's great. Read John. But at some point, you got to read Matthew too. And at some point, you got to read Luke. And at some point, you got to read John, because they're going to, or Mark, because they're going to bring something out that you're going to miss. If you don't read each gospel separately, you're going to miss something that God wants to speak into your life. So take your view of the world. That is your view of the world because of your motivational gift. Pray about it. Say, God, I'm seeing this in my community. God, I'm seeing this in my church. I don't see anybody else seeing it the way that I do, but I hear you speaking in my heart about it. And ask him how you are to react to it, and ask him how you are to get involved in it. You may already notice that those things that make up your being and your character have already been being used in some of those areas. But imagine what you could do in your prayer and in your actions when the Holy Spirit begins to activate your true motivational gift in that area. Praise God. Number two, our motivational gift dictates how we relate to others around us. This is important. And I've already said this, but let me say this point again, just in case I didn't hit it right. This does not give us the excuse to butcher people and cut them up and say, well, my motivational gift is prophecy, so that's just who I am. No. We're not called to hurt people. We're called to mend people. We're called to heal people. That's not the way these things work. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, those of you that move in prophecy like myself, listen to what Paul says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Okay? Paul is very clear here. Without love, that gifting is nothing. But we also need to understand how our different gifts affect our relationships with each other, both inside the church family and outside the church family. Remember the last point, our motivational gifts affect our views of life. That means they also affect the way that we view those around us. Amen? I think that many times the enemy will take occasion in our giftings to say to somebody who moves in giving, serving, and mercy, they'll say to them, you're too weak, or you're too weepy-eyed, or you're too sentimental about things. And we listen to what the enemy's saying, and we back away from those gifts. You see, those who have the gift of giving, those who move in the gift of serving, those who move in the gift of mercy, you need to be really careful here. All of those gifts, though we've not studied them yet, we will, all of them deal with compassion on people, having compassion toward people. And when your heart is being prodded by compassion, let me tell you, there will be emotion. There will be transparency. And many times the tendency will be unguarded in your actions. Because I just need to take care of this, Pastor. I need to help this person. I need to give to them. I need to, I've been there. And you know what's happened? Sometimes I've been taken. Sometimes the money I give wasn't used for what I gave it for. And I get hurt. That's why we need to be careful. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, especially those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make you weak. Don't listen to the enemy. It doesn't make you weak. It does make you vulnerable, but it doesn't make you weak. What it does is it shows us the biblical example of what Jesus gave us as humility. My father was a man who loved people, was moved by people. And I watched Dad stepped on many times by the very people whom he helped. And my heart would get hard, and Dad would come out to me and he'd say, "No, that's between them and God. They'll be judged for that. But I know I did the right thing." And one night he ran out to me in the shed. I've told you this, when I was so mad because he moved another person into our home. So now I had to share my room, which I never had to share before. And I was furious at that. And I ran out into the shed, and I'll never forget his words. At that point, I had already been called into the ministry. He looked at me with his eyes out in the shed in the cold night. And he said to me, "Kenny, if you can't learn to love people, you will never be any good in the ministry." And I've never forgotten that word. And it changed my life. And it changed some of the things. He didn't care what they owed him. He didn't care what they stole from him. He didn't care about how they defamed him and talked badly about him afterwards. He gave thousands of dollars to people and allowed people to live in his houses without paying and never went after them. And it was just, I wish I could be like him. If I could just be a quarter of the man that my father was, man, I'd be moving in things. You hear what I'm saying? But I say that not just to raise my father. He was a man. He was imperfect. He had flaws just like anybody else. What I say is this: if you move in those gifts, if you're a giver, if you're a server, if you're an exhorter, listen, there's going to be times when you're going to be vulnerable. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to get mad because people stepped on you? And we're going to talk about all these gifts. And please recognize this morning as I close in 3 minutes. Every one of these gifts deal with having compassion on people. But the three that I just mentioned just have a more direct link to compassion. So, you will be able to recognize your motivational gifts in your marriage. How do you relate and love and serve your spouse? It's going to relate back to your motivational gift. You will see it in the raising of your children. How do you discipline? How do you care for? How do you love? How do you raise them? You'll see it in your motivational gifts. In the way you deal with your fellow workers, especially in those places where you operate in some level of authority, you'll see your motivational gifts. You'll see it on the streets when you pass by a situation. You'll see it in the stores. You'll see it in the cars, in your car, when somebody cuts you off or when somebody does something. You're going to see your motivational gift. It is truly who you are. It is truly who you were designed to be. Don't try to change it. Don't fight it. In a couple of weeks, we're going to take the motivational gift survey. And if you don't already know what your gift is, your eyes are going to open up widely. And you're going to say, "That's why I handle this situation like that. That's why I say this when that happens. That's why I pray this way. That's why I serve God this way." I haven't had one in a long time, but when I just took one last night, light bulb went on in my mind as I looked at how I work in ministry and the way I preach and the things that I do. And I said, "God, you're too funny. You're just too funny. It makes sense." Lastly, I think I can do this in 2 minutes. If not, oh well. It's the word of God. We got to hear it. We use our motivational gift to impact the body of Christ or our church. What do you bring to this church family today? Why has God seen fit to put it in your heart to attend here and not attend somewhere else? I want you to know that it's much more than just attendance. We don't need people to test our chairs. We tested them for months before we bought them. We don't need people to test our chairs for us. We don't need people to keep them warm. We need people who will get involved where they are planted. If the Lord is putting the notion in your heart today to stay here, to join this family, then he's also saying, don't just attend there, but become a part of the processes there. Become a part of the ministry there. Become a part of what the place is about. What he's doing is he's adding your motivational gift to the ministry of the Abundant Living Church. So learn what it is. Study how it works from the Word of God. Seek out others who move in the same gifts. Wouldn't it be great if we had home groups based on those who prophesy and those who exhort and those who, I don't know how we're going to work all of this out. But wouldn't it be great if they could come together? You're going to see, hey, we don't all have the same traits. We move in the same gift. The same gift is ours, but we don't all have the same traits. But there are some similarities. And then throw your gift into the mix. Become a part of what God is doing here in ministry and get busy. What am I saying? God's got you here for a reason. If you're visiting with us today, God's got you here for a reason. If you just joined online today for the first time, you have found us somehow online. God's got you here for a reason. If you're visiting with us, we would love to have you be a part of what God's doing here. We would love to get you involved in the ministries that we have and that are fit for your gifting, and where your gifting will just enhance what is already happening. And don't be surprised that all of a sudden our ministries begin to look lopsided, because some of you are going to say, Pastor, I'm in the total wrong ministry for my motivational gift. That's why we need to know these things. Some of you are going to say, Pastor, I need to be involved in a ministry. This is my motivational gift. What I tell every visitor as I meet them in the back every Sunday is this: give us 3 Sundays and see what we are all about, because every service can look different. We're not led by man, we're led by the Holy Spirit. And God may be telling you after those 3 weeks, you know what? This isn't the place for you. Find another place where I can plant you. Or God may be saying after 3 weeks, plant here, raise your children here, be involved in the processes here, because this is where you're going to bloom, this is where you're going to grow, this is where you're going to come to be what I've called you to be. If you've been here for a longer time and you're still not involved, what are you waiting for? What's the holdup? God's got you here for a reason. There's so much that we need help with. There's so many things that we need to do. Make some noise and then jump in, but don't make noise if you're not willing to jump in first. We don't need people telling us what to do and then out they go. Make noise if you're willing to jump in and be a part. I do believe that this church has so much going for it. We're small. I always say that. We're a small church. But I'll tell you what, I've seen churches and I've experienced churches and I've talked to pastors. We have a family unity that many churches do not have. I'm going to tell you that. And that is my pride point when I speak about this church. We're small. We need some children. We need some youth. And God's going to bring them because we're praying. We need to make sure we have all ages here at this church. We need to make sure of that. But I'll tell you what, we've got a family dynamic that a lot of churches don't have. And I never want to lose it. I don't want to risk growing and lose that family dynamic. I also believe that we have a magnificent group of people. I also believe that as we take the next few weeks and we go over these motivational gifts and you find out what yours is, that we're going to have some breakthrough in many of these things that we aren't moving forward yet. And you know what? We don't have a theme for this year. Usually I have a theme. First I called it Looking Forward because that was the first two messages of the year. Now I've kind of just calling this year Moving Forward. Moving Forward. It's not a series of messages. Rather, it's a mindset in our church that this year we are moving forward. And I ask, would you be a part of it? Would you be a part? And some of that is going to be finding your motivational gift and getting involved. If you want to come and just sit in a seat every Sunday, we'll allow that. We'll miss what you have to bring, what God brought you here for, but we'll allow it and we'll love you. And you'll be cherished and you'll be included in everything that we do. But if you will just lend yourself to get involved, what a difference we can make. We are about ready to gear up for an egg hunt that last year brought over 300 people to these grounds. It can only grow. Do you know the community checks with us most of the time? Who's ever doing in the community? Usually they check with us and they say, when are you doing your egg hunt? Because they know they can't compete with it. That's exciting. That's exciting. And that's the way I want it to be. Oh, if you want to go to an egg hunt, go to the Abundant Living Church. It's all free and you won't believe the prizes they give out and the food that they give out for free. But the main thing is, as they're on these grounds, there's something of our smile, of our compassion for Jesus that is reaching into their hearts. We have our men's cornhole lined up this year. We have our fall festival lined up again this year. And hopefully we can get even some other things happening this year for our community. We have ways and avenues to minister. But first we need to get ourselves set. We need to know where we are, amen? So I hope you're excited about learning what your motivational gift is. And I hope you're excited about using it here in this church, amen?